of reaching, really, in all honesty, reaching the world through that means. So, nothing further. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 is where we're going to be at today. And I'm going to have you stand up for the reading of the Word to show respect. And we're going to just read three verses, and I'm going to let you sit back down. Let's all stand, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verses 7 through 10 is where our text is going to be at today. It says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh." Who gave that thorn? Just wondering. "There was given me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful today for this fine number of folks that you've given us. We're thankful for the visitors that are here. And Father, as we've read the text that I believe that you want to deal with today, I pray that you'd help me. Lord, I pray that you'd help me present it in such a fashion as you would have it presented. I pray that you'd give me the power that's needed to bring it forth. Lord, I pray that you would be exalted in this service. I pray that you'd come in and sup with us. And Father, just bless us with your presence and cause your people to worship you today in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. We're going to entitle this message, I've just felt compelled to deal with this. To be honest with you, I didn't really want to deal with it because I thought I'd done something similar to it when I dealt with the text, Rejoicing in Tribulation, a few weeks ago. But I just feel like that's it today, so I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go ahead and teach from this particular text. We're going to title the lesson, Lessons from Paul's Thorn. Lessons from Paul's thorn. Now, of course, he's speaking and using figurative language. He didn't literally have a thorn jabbing in his flesh, but the situation and circumstance that he was going through was likened to a thorn in the flesh. You know, a thorn in the flesh would be painful, wouldn't it? Not only is it painful, but it's also aggravating. If you've ever literally had a thorn in your flesh, it's painful and it indeed is aggravating. You do everything you can to get rid of that particular thorn. So he's just using an illustration. He was in a situation, he was in a time, he was in a circumstance in which it was very troublesome to him. He was in such a situation that it moved him to ask God to get him out of this situation and this circumstance three times. I don't know if you've ever been in that type of situation, but if you have not, you will be in this old world at one time or the other. That's why this message today indeed is so very, very important. Now, I don't know particularly, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, what particularly his thorn was. People guess. One good guess, I think, it was that it was his eyesight. He had very poor eyesight. He mentioned it. In the book of Galatians chapter 6, verse 16, he talks about his infirmity that he had in his flesh. And he said, "I bear you record that you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me." So indicating that probably his eyesight was bad. He also wrote in the book of Galatians chapter 6, "You see how large a letter that I've written unto you." And Galatians only 6 chapters. It's not a very large letter. But he wrote it with large letters. And you know why he wrote it with large letters? He had poor eyesight. So that's a good guess. That possibly could be. Others suggest it was his speech. Paul, you really think Paul was a great pulpiteer? I don't even know what a great pulpiteer is, but you know, I guess if someone's a great speaker, he wasn't. He was not Matter of fact, he said in the book of Corinthians, his words was contemptible. He wasn't a great public speaker. I want to tell you the difference. He spoke with the power of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit used him. We put too much emphasis on that. I mean, you need to study, and you need to prepare, and you need to pray. But then when you come behind the piece of wood up here, you need to depend on the Holy Spirit to use what you say, or it's worthless anyhow. I pray that in my preaching, you know, you do want to do a good job when you preach, don't get me wrong. But the main focus of what you do needs to be that Jesus Christ and His Word be taught and lifted up. All God's people say it. So, I don't know, it might have been his speech, but if you look down into the text here, he also says in the middle stages of verse 7, where it says, "Was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me." So there he uses, or buffet me. He says, so there's three different things it could possibly be. You say, what? The word messenger is the Greek word angelos. It's where we get the term angel. You've seen it in the book of Revelations 2 and 3, where we interpret it as being the pastor. But there was a messenger of Satan that buffeted him, that hit him, and was hitting him hard. And that could have referred to all the persecution that he went through. He went through great persecution. We don't go through nothing in comparison to what this man of God went through. That could have been his thorn in his flesh. Look back at 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Notice what all he suffered. It says, "Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one." Five different occasions he was beaten and received 39 stripes. On five different occasions. Can you imagine what this poor old man of God's back must have looked like? He had scars all over him. And what did it for doing wrong? No, it was for doing right. It was for serving the Lord. It was for being faithful. And it was for preaching the truth. My, we'd quit after one stripe. If we was dedicated enough to get one stripe. Different world today than it was back then, folks. Verse 25 says, "Thrice I was beaten with rods, once I was stoned." I mean, they set him outside, I believe it was the city of Lystra. They set him outside the city and they stoned him. And they threw rocks at him until it knocked him out. He was out. They thought he was dead. They thought he was dead. And then later on he got back up and re-entered the city. He could have been dead and the Lord could have raised him up. But I mean, he was left for dead, but he was stoned on occasion. He says, "Three times, thrice I suffered shipwreck. In a night and day, I was in the deep." So he describes all the persecution that he went through. Would you describe that as a thorn also? I would too. I think that was a thorn in the flesh that he had. I think he had maybe a specific behind the scenes. I think there perhaps could have been a demon from Satan that sought to absolutely wear him out. I really did. So all of these things could have been thorns, but folks, a thorn in the flesh could be anything. One person's thorn is not another person's thorn. And if you'll go down in the text, I want to show you in the latter part of verse 10 what it says. You see where it says, "I take pleasure in infirmities"? Infirmity's a thorn. Everything in verse 10 is a kind of thorn that people have. An infirmity, it's talking about weaknesses. Sometimes that refers to sickness in the Scriptures. Infirmities, reproaches is insults. You ever been insulted for the cause of Christ? Oh, I've been insulted a few times. And it's even though it still hurts my feelings. I'm not brazen enough that don't still hurt your feelings. Sometimes people say things to you, but that's a type of thorn, is being reproached. And Scripture says if you're reproached for the cause of Christ, that's an honor. That's an honor. Go on to say persecutions or reproaches. Necessities is hardships. The thorns of life take the form of hardships, insults, infirmities. Persecutions means exactly what it says. Persecuted for the cause of Christ. Persecuted for His cause. And then last of all, distresses. Ever been in a time of distress? That's any difficulty or calamity. All of those are defined as thorns. That's the reason why when he came down to verse 10, he gave a little bit fuller explanation of what he's talking about. He's talking about all these types of hardships that sometimes we as God's people face in this life. There's strength in this text for those that have a thorn in the flesh. Strength in this text. And there's encouragement in this text. And I pray that the Lord would use this text for that for you today. This has been a soft place to lay my head a time or two in my life as I go to this text. And I want to use it. This is lessons. We entitled it Lessons from Paul's Thorn. You ready to go ahead and look at the first one? Let's go ahead and look at the first one. And the first lesson I want you to see, if you'll look in, let's go ahead and begin in our first verse 7, is the first verse we read. Lest I be exalted above measure. Everybody see that? The first thing I want you to see in Paul's lessons concerning his thorn, or Paul's lessons concerning the thorn, is what I want you to see is that there is a purpose for every thorn. Every thorn has a purpose. Now, boy, that's easily preached, but boy, when a thorn comes, it still hurts. That's easily preached, easy to let go, easy to holler and scream and hit the pulpit and say it, but buddy, when a thorn starts piercing in you, it's a whole lot different. And you get to seeing how very, very indeed hard that they are. But folks, it says, lest I should be exalted above measure. In other words, the reason or the purpose behind this thorn that God gave him and God permitted to come into his life, the purpose behind it was to keep him from being exalted above measure. In other words, it was to keep him from being proud and perhaps even to keep people from worshiping him because of the abundance of the revelations that he had. That's what he said here in the text. You look back, if you look at the Apostle Paul's ministry, man, the Lord blessed him. He appeared to him on the road to Damascus the day that he saved his soul. You know, the gospel that he preached in the book of Galatians 1, he received the gospel not from any man. He received the gospel by special revelation. And when you notice the previous verses, in verses 1 through 6, I believe it's referring to him, he was even caught up into heaven, either physically or through a vision, but he was given great revelations from God. That tends to make a man proud if you ain't careful. And it's also when you begin to share all these things with people, sometimes have a tendency to people to begin to exalt you. That's one of the greatest dangers for a pastor is to get caught up in wanting people to exalt them. Man, I don't want you to have preacher religion. I ain't nothing anyhow. If it wasn't for God's grace, I'd still be out here in my sin. And if you get blessed by anything that gets done here, it's because God uses it to do it. He deserves the glory. We don't deserve anything. I fear that more than any other thing because a prideful preacher is worthless. They are absolutely worthless. And when pride creeps in, it can kill your ministry. You see, everything that gets done in a church, does everybody in the house know who does it? Holy Spirit does it. God does it. He deserves all the glory and praise and honor. But boy, you start getting blowed up and saying, look at this great Babylon, which I have built, you know, like Nebuchadnezzar. Oh, you better take heed lest ye fall. So this was permitted into Paul's life. Actually, it said it was given to him. It was given to him from God. This infirmity that he had, whatever it might be, the purpose of it was to keep him what? Humble. And to keep him from being exalted. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that same word is translated exalteth himself when it's referring to the man of sin. He exalts himself. He exalts himself. He still does exalt himself, by the way. Now here, Paul said, unless I exalt myself, the purpose of this thorn was, of course, to keep him humble. So there's a purpose for the thorn. That's a lesson in this text. Does everybody believe that? Boy, it's easy to believe. But it's hard when you got one. And it hurts when you got one. And your first response is going to be just like Paul's. Every time one comes into your life, I want this thing out of here. I want to get rid of this thing. This thing hurts. This thing is devastating me. This thing is overwhelming me. Have you ever had that happen to you? You will have. All of God's people, one time or the other, will have thorns in the flesh. They do indeed take many thorns. or many forms in our lives. So there's a purpose. That's the first lesson that I want you to see. There is a purpose for every thorn. Does everybody in the house believe that? For us, well, that's the indicator for me. Lest I should be exalted. Now, the blessing Paul had is he knew what it was for. See that? There's a difference. He knew exactly what it was for. Now, we can look at Scriptures, and we can look back over Scripture, and we did this a few weeks ago, and we can see examples where men of God had thorns, and then we can look at the Scriptures, and we can see the purpose for them. And they're in there so that we can draw strength from that, because we can say, you know, this guy had a purpose for all this, so that means I have a purpose for what God, for the thorn that God's permitted in my life. Joseph, we talked about him a few weeks ago. Remember all that he went through? His brothers hated him. Throwed him in a pit, sold him into Egypt. He got down there still serving the Lord down there. He got lied on, thrown in prison, and he got forgot about. All of those were thorns, do you agree? Those were thorns in the flesh. Those were aggravating times that he went through. But you know, God had a purpose for it. We know that because we know that we got the book of Genesis. He didn't have the book of Genesis. He was living the book of Genesis. We got the book. We can look and say, well, yep, God knew exactly what he's doing the whole time. He was elevated to be over all of Egypt. We can see God's purpose in all of that. We can trace it. Can we not? We can look at Job, and we can see that all that he went through, lost 7 sons and 3 daughters, lost all of his wealth, and then lost his health. We can look at all of that, and then we can look at that and say, yep, God had a purpose for that because we got the book of Job. We can see that God knew what he was doing all along, that God had a purpose. You say, well, what was the purpose of Job? He's a minister to suffering saints. You know, when I'm hurting and I go through a difficult time and I'm really hurting, you know where I go? To Job. Job's still preaching. And he's been the comforter, he's been the minister to suffering saints for several thousand years. Now, we know that today, but I'm sure that I know he didn't know that then. I know that he didn't understand that then. And you can see example after example in Scripture. Did Jesus have a thorn in the flesh? Was there a purpose for Jesus' thorn? Yeah, to save his people from their sin. There's a purpose for every thorn. And you can see that. You can see that in the Scripture. Everybody agree with me before I move a little bit farther? God has a purpose. That's the first lesson you see from Paul's thorn. Every thorn has a purpose in the lives of God's people. That's the first lesson. That's the easy preached part. And when it's you, it's a little bit more difficult. What do you do when you don't know the purpose? Now, if God would tell me in the beginning what's going on, I'd be all right. But he don't tell you what's going on in the beginning. You just get the thorn. You just get the hardship. You just get the distress. You just get the calamity. And there it hits you, and it overwhelms you sometimes. You ever been overwhelmed with these things? And they just knock you flat. And you don't have the purpose. You don't know the purpose. What do? Turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 3. You know where I'm going, but for sake of you that don't know where I'm going, you can write it down and look at that. Look at it. You got two options. What's our first lesson? There's a purpose for every thorn. There's a purpose for every thorn. You can see that in Paul's thorn, whatever it was. I think he had many. We're talking about one particular one, but it could be many things. Watch this in verse 5, Proverbs chapter 3. When a thorn comes into your life, we know it has a purpose, right? Let me say, do we know it has a purpose? We know it does. It makes me feel better. Right off the bat, when I know that. Man, I trust any sovereignty, folks. When I can look at a situation, I say, now, God, Master, I don't understand this thing. I don't see the purpose in this thing at all. But, Master, I want to trust you in this thing, and I know you have a purpose. You know what that does? Lifts me up. Don't have to understand it. I just got to know the one that sent it. And I got to know that he had a purpose for it. Notice what it says in this text, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. What does it mean to trust in him? It means to lean on him. You got two leans here. Two leans. You can lean on the Lord. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart, or you can do what else? You can lean to your own understanding. Have you ever done that? Let's do a little test. How many has ever leaned to their own understanding in a thorn? Well, that was fun, wasn't it? Man, Lord, I don't understand this thing. And Master, this thing ain't right. Man, you don't want to tell God something ain't right, because everything He does is right. Well, you see, you got two leans here. Either you can lean on God or you can lean to your understanding. And if you lean to your understanding, there's going to be things that you don't understand. There's going to be things that you absolutely don't understand. Here's what I do when I pray about such things. Now, Master, I'll have a care, and I'll unload that care upon Him, and I'll tell Him about a situation that's just got me tore all to pieces, you know, and I'll reveal all those things to Him. And of course, He already knows about them, doesn't He? And I share all those and cast all them, and then say, Lord, I don't know how, but I know that You've got a purpose for this thing. You ever say that? Lord, I don't know how or why or where or what, but I know You have a purpose for that thing. And lift me up. So I trust in Him. I can't see the purpose, Wade. I can't see it, but I do know that God has a purpose. I know because I've seen it so many times in Scripture. And I know because I've seen it so many times in my past. That doesn't mean I might not get a thorn tomorrow and fall back leaning to my own understanding. This ain't something that you can say, you should stay constant at, but I get so mad at myself. I'll drift. And then, what are you doing there? I'll get back up and put my trust in the Lord. Either you can lean on God and trust Him, or you can lean to your own understanding. You do that, you'll always be miserable. There's some things in this life that you'll never be able to figure out because you don't got all the you don't got all the information on it yet. I said this Wednesday night, and I'm going to say it again. I never really explained it very good, I didn't think, but you'll get the point. When a thorn comes into your life, you know what you have? You have one piece of the puzzle. You got one piece. Now, if I had a puzzle of this flower right here, a whole puzzle, and I just give you a little piece of it, and I say, here you go. And you had that one piece, you'd say, what good's that? What's the purpose of this? This thing is worthless. But when you see the whole picture, you'll see how important each piece is. And you'll see how important, you'll see how each piece fit perfectly in your life. That's how it is with you. And that's how it is with me. An event, a thorn that comes into my life, that's one piece. Folks, once I get the whole puzzle, God's got the whole puzzle. He knows what's going to come of it. And He knows the first. But once you get it, you'll understand. And until you get it, you trust. Put all your confidence in Him. Well, I can't see the purpose of this thing, but I know You have a purpose. I know You have a reason. And I know You're working. All God's people said. That's number one. Let's go back to our text. Trust or lean. That's your option. You can trust or lean. And I've leaned, and I don't like leaning to my own understanding because of what it does to me. You lean. Now, let me tell you what happened. You lean to your understanding, you'll get angry with God. You lean to your own understanding, you'll get angry with God and bitter against God. I hate to use this illustration. We'll use it anyhow. Years ago, I was out of work forever, I thought. Like I'm 900 years old. Back in 1990, I went about a year and a half and didn't have a regular job. I mean a regular job. By that, I mean one where you got a payroll check. I did everything. Cut grass. Helped shingle houses. Everybody needs a good strong back. And just did every kind of job in the world I could do to try to make a living. And the Lord took care of me all during that time. I never missed one bill and all that thing. So the Lord took care. But I wanted a job that had benefits at it. I needed insurance and things, you know. And I desired that. And I worked at Hex for years. And after it shut down, I just had a hard time finding anything that matched up with what I had before. Well, you know what? A company called me, and it was in the same building. It was in the same building Hex was in. And I was told that they was so interested in me, they couldn't wait for me to come there for the interview, and they were going to hire me. Man, I was pumped up. Man, I'm going to get a job. Went up there and walked in that building. You know, it was the same. When I walked in, there's my old office. And I said, surely it's God's will. This is awesome. He's bringing me back to the same building. And I began to rejoice in the Lord, and I was so happy, and I walked in. And here came the man that run the place, and he said, "You Jeff Arthur?" I said, "Yes, sir." "Come." I couldn't help but smile. "Come for my interview." I thought he was going to put me to work right on the spot. And he said, "Well, we're not hiring right now." I don't even know why he called me. You talk about depressed. "You're not hiring right now." Anyhow, I let that lay. I said, "Well, all right." And I went out, and I can remember going out and getting my car, and it just overwhelmed. I've been struggling so long, and I thought, well, here's the shot to get out of this situation. And I said, "Lord," let me tell you what I did. I was mad at the master. I said, "Lord, why did you let him do me that way?" I said, "I understand not getting a stinking job, but why'd you let me get my hopes built up so high? And just to knock me down again." I used to sit all day at times waiting on the phone to ring, thinking somebody going to call me for a job. That's why I'm so tender-hearted towards people that's out of work. So, you know what happened? I told the Lord all that, and I leaned on my own understanding for about a week, and I was mad at the Lord for a week. Till I strengthened myself somewhat. But you know what happened? 3 weeks later, another company called for a job. Russell Stanley. Russell Stanley boys here this morning. They called me for a job. They sent me. And you know what? Russell Stanley was a whole lot better job. It paid more money. It had benefits. This job didn't have benefits like it didn't have. And hey, folks, can I tell you something? God knew that all along. You want to know something else? I wished I'd have kept my mouth shut 3 weeks earlier. Because when I got on this end of it, and I had all the pieces to the puzzle, God knew what He's doing all along. All God's people said. I'm telling you, folks, it's true about every thorn for God's people. When I get on this end of it and I got all the pieces, you might not have all the pieces right now. But when you get them all, you'll understand that your God knows what He's doing and has a purpose for every thorn in the lives of these people. Now let's go to number two. Back to 2 Corinthians chapter 2. You're already there, aren't you? Purpose for every thorn. Now let's notice the prayer for the thorn. We'll see that in verse 8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." You see, he besought the Lord. Everybody see where it says, "I besought the Lord"? That's what you do in a thorn when you save. You beseech the Lord. See, that's why we call this second lesson is the prayer in the thorn. When a thorn comes, you need to get with the Lord. Man, wouldn't this life be horrible if you didn't have God to go to? Man, I don't know how unsaved people handle that. I don't know. I've been through a lot of things with a lot of people. But I don't know how unsaved people handle the thorns of this life without Jesus. You? How they handle it. So he besought the Lord in his thorn. Let's go ahead and turn to the Psalms. I'll give you a couple verses to go with this. Psalms. Man, I'm glad I got some place to go when I have a thorn, aren't you? I got a place I can go to. And I want you to notice what it says in Psalms 46 and verse 1. It says, God is our what? God's our refuge. What's a refuge? That's the place you go to during a time of storm or thorn. I got a place I can go. Do you go there? You go there or not? Or are you too mad at Him to go there? You need to go there. You need to trust Him. You need to go. God is our refuge and our strength. It doesn't say Jeff is our refuge and strength, is it? Well, I certainly hope I'm not, because I'll let you down. God's your refuge. You go to God. I'll help you any way I can. But you go to Him if you're saved. If you need help, I'll help you. And He's a very present help in time of trouble. Everybody see that? Present. He'll give you immediate help. We'll talk more about that in just a little bit. Turn to Psalms 57 and verse 1. Verse 1, be merciful. Psalms 57, verse 1, be merciful unto me, O God. Be merciful unto me. My soul trusteth in thee. My what? My soul trusteth in thee. In the shadow of thy wings, I will make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. The illustrations used of this bird, I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen it in my backyard before. Mother bird, or a chicken. She has her little chicks. It's a sign of danger. She'll let out a certain squawk, and she'll bring up her wings like this, and those little chicks will run to her. You know what she does? She'll put her wings down over them. Protection, safety, comfort. And for all of God's children, that's the second lesson when a thorn comes that I want you to see. You beseech your God. You run to your refuge. You run to your strength. He's a very present help in time of need. You'll be surprised at how often we that know better just absolutely don't do that. We go and we cast our care on Him. When we go to Him, we cast our care on Him. We also need to ask the Lord for wisdom. Do you agree with that? James 1, chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom. And in chapter 1 of the book of James, in the first part of the chapter, down through verse 6, it's giving different advice and admonitions concerning trials. And we need to ask God for wisdom. Lord, help me to use this for Your glory. Lord, if it be Thy will, show me the purpose in this thing. Sometimes the Lord will reveal to you exactly the reason why He's doing something, but many times we don't even ask for the reason. Now, sometimes He'll give and sometimes He won't. And many times He will. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom to use this thing. I know You permitted this thing for a purpose. Lord, so give me the wisdom to use this thing in Your service and for Your glory. So you beseech the Lord in your thorn. And that's the prayer in a thorn. Now let's go back to our text. We looked at this thorn has a purpose. We look secondly at what to do. We beseech the Lord in the thorn. We go to Him for strength, power, and wisdom. We cast our cares upon Him. Now let's go back to our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's go ahead and start to wind this up. Let's notice the power for the thorn now. And you're going to see that in verse 9 and verse 10. Notice what it says. So verse 8, he asked three times that this thorn would be taken away. Did God take it away? No. He didn't. Sometimes He don't. Sometimes His purpose is so determined that it's going to be allowed for till you die. You know another person that prayed three times? Didn't Jesus pray in the garden three times, Lord, if this cup can pass from me, let it pass? He knew the next morning He'd be put on Calvary. You know the purpose of that text? If there'd be any way, that an old hell-bound sinner like me could be saved other than by the humiliating death of God's Son, it would have been that way. No way we could be saved without that. But three times He made that request. Did the Father take the thorn away? Nope. It was His will to His Son go through just exactly what He did. What was the purpose? To save us from our sin. And instead of taking the thorn away, you know what the Lord did? You know what the Father did for the Son? He strengthened Him. Remember, He sent Him an angel to do what? Strengthen Him. To strengthen Him. God will give you power for the thorn. God will give you grace for the thorn. Look what it says in verse 9. He said, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. God will give you grace for the thorn that the Lord don't take away. He'll give you sufficient grace to be able to bear it. That's an awesome thing. Strength for the thorn. And matter of fact, he was so strengthened by it that he was able to joy in it. I take pleasure in infirmities and in reproaches. Because when he was weak, God gave him the ability. He was so strengthened by the power of God in his thorn that he was able even to rejoice in it. You say, well, that ain't possible. It is with God's strength. It is with the strength that He can give. God gave him grace. Do you know that grace? Do you know that special grace that He gives you? Man, I know it. I've been there. I've experienced God's grace. I've been in situations that's been so overwhelming, and I have God flow through and give me grace, and I was able to stand above the storm, son. They were to handle it. They will continue to serve and even rejoice in what the Lord had done. It's what He does in this particular situation. Paul spoke of this grace in Philippians 4 and verse 13 when he said, I can do some things. Is that what it says? I can do all things. Let me say it one more time. I can do all things through Christ, which does what? Strengthens me. He can give you the strength to go through and do things that you never, absolutely never thought possible in and of your own self. He can. He can. This supply of grace, you know where it's available at? It's available at the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4 says we are to come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find strength to help in time of need. Power. For the thorn. Do you see it? Have you ever had power for the thorn? He gives it. And that's what's so great about this text. That's why he said when he was weak, he was strong. We'll use an illustration. I hope you don't care if I use it, I miss old Steve Ruby here. Those of you who work with me at Hex, remember old Ruby? Steve Ruby come to church here about just a couple years. He came here. I always think he got here when we needed him. I really do. Come here and when he first come here, he sat back there in the back. And he had cancer, I don't know how long, but when he come here, I didn't know who he was. It changed him so much. And I went back there and when he grinned, I knew who he was. He had a crooked grin. I still remember that. I loved him. So I went back there and I said, well, Ruby, man, I'm glad you could come. He come and then over time he started the church here all the time. And he had it everywhere. He had it everywhere when he started here. I said, well, where do you got it? And he started naming. I said, well, you got it everywhere. It's everywhere. He said, I know it. He said, but it's I'm still doing good, Jeff. He kept coming. But never forget this. And I shared this with you in the past. We've got so many new people. Hope you don't care if I share it with you again. He was back there standing on the steps one day, and he came up to me. And he said, Jeff, I want to tell you something. He said, I've had cancer for 3 years. And he said, there's no cure for what I have. And he said, I know what's coming. He said, but Jeff, I'm happy. I'm happier now. Listen now, folks. He said, I'm happier now than I've ever been in my life. God has given me such grace. And I've served God more in His work this past 3 years than I've done my entire life. And he said, Jeff, I know God could heal me, but I think He's chosen to give me grace. And I think that's even greater than if He healed me. I wanted to shout. I've never talked to anybody like that. You say, was that Steve? No, that was God. He gave him power for the thorn. Power for the thorn. And He will. I can't promise you never have a thorn in this life. I would be lying if I told you that. You will. It's a matter of time one way or the other. But I can tell you I can tell you that if you're saved, that the Lord has a purpose. I can tell you you've got a place to go when it comes. And number three, I can tell you He can give you such strength that in and of yourself is absolutely impossible. He can give you a joy in the midst of it. Can I give you another example? Remember Acts 16? Paul and Silas was publicly stripped and beaten. I'd have quit there, wouldn't you? I can't stand somebody humiliating. If publicly beaten and stripped, thrown into a Philippian prison, thrown into a jail. Then he's thrown, and on top of everything else, Wade, they put him in stocks. And you know, your back would have itched. I mean, that's how I think. I thought, oh, I've been horrible. You get those cuts and you can't deal in with them, and their prisons was dirt. Couldn't imagine. You know what the Lord, was that a thorn? Number two, did God have a purpose? I just want to know. Did they beseech God? They did. What did Paul do? He said, at midnight, in Roman prison, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and all the prisoners heard them. Oh, what was the purpose? God's going to save that jailer. That's one of God's lost sheep there. The Lord's going to save him. He put Paul there just at the right time. Wasn't that lucky? That was a plan. That was a purpose. Right there at the right place at the right time to share the gospel with this man. God had a purpose. You convinced? Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter, last text, if I can find it. 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to share with you one thing if I can find it here. 1 Peter chapter 5. I think there's a key to grace. This is going wrong. This not even will sound right, but you have to let me explain it. I think there's a key to grace that is more than just asking for it. I think you do need to ask for it. But sometimes people ask and don't get it. And the reason why they don't get it is what I'm about to show you. That don't even sound right what I just said, does it? I'm going to share it with you now. Watch this now. It says in verse 5, it says, First Peter 5:5, likewise, ye younger, submit yourself to the elder. All of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Be clothed with what? Humility. And what you say in the latter part of verse, God resists the proud, but who does He give grace to? What's it say in verse 5? He gives grace to the humble. He don't give grace to the arrogant. He don't. That's what it says. He said, if He gives grace to the humble, then that means He don't give grace to the arrogant. A lot of people don't get grace because they're arrogant. And what it says in verse 6, humble yourself. You got to humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. What's it mean to humble you? It means to submit to it. Sometimes I don't submit to the thorn because I don't like it. I don't like this thing, Lord. Now, this ain't right, but this thorn's in my life. Here's this heathen over here, don't want nothing to do with you. I have the thorn and he don't. Get mad at it. I get up, you'll get up. You ever do it? When we're like that, we're proud. And you pray and ask and ask and ask, and nothing seems to have you. What is it, Lord? I don't understand this thing. But I know what your promises is. And Father, I submit to you and to your thorn for the purpose that you gave it. And you'll get grace. He gives grace to those. As long as you kick and stomp and buck, you'll never get it. Oh, my. I remember being in my car one time in Polk Middle School parking lot, weeping because I didn't have work. And I had such a great job before, now I'm nothing. I said, God, why did you do this to me? Why did you take this all away? I hate this. I didn't get no grace that day. And I didn't hear no verbal voice, but I had that little formula, mirror formula I've taught you about so many times. God's always with you. If God's always with you, nothing can happen unless God permits it. And if God permits it, He always has a purpose. And that overwhelmed my mind. And I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I know You have a purpose. I submit to that and to You. And I trust You. All God's people say, okay. We're going to take just a little. Sister Chastity, she here. You come on up. I'm going to say